Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We should be doing daylight savings revolving around the golf season. If the weather starts getting nicer, we should actually move it the other way so that it, like, you know, right now it's 8:21. It's actually 6:21.
You want it dark until 11 a.m.
Yes. Golf comes up at 11.
What if people want to golf in the morning?
Don't you work?
Maybe they work at night.
Okay. Different clocks for everybody.
To rescue us from you making my brain hurt about what time it is.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I golfed last night.
Yeah? Simulator?
A few of us played the simulator while watching simulation golf.
That's the way to do it, right?
Yeah. How do you take in TGL? LA versus Jupiter, big rivalry.
Huge. It was good again, right?
It was. I thought from what I saw, it was good again.
It was good again.
Did you like Tiger not getting an introduction, just coming out to Eye of the Tiger, and that was it?
Yeah.
I mean, it really doesn't need an introduction, right?
Yeah, I thought
it's a golf event.
Fine.
It's Eye of the Tiger. Here comes Tiger Woods. Well, you didn't like Eye of the Tiger?
It's fine.
Too cheesy?
Says nothing about him. One of my favorite things going into last night, Tiger's going to get entrance music. What will he pick? And then he picks something that, you know, a house DJ might have picked for him. All respect to house DJs and all that, but
you don't think he picked that?
He might have. It's very cliche.
Okay.
So I thought we might get a window into his soul, but instead we just got Tiger. And that's fine. Hey, everybody. Good morning. Jeremy and Joe. We have a big show today. Big. Sal at 7, media day today. So Sal at 7, Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, might move off of today. Joe's going to be like a sideline-to-sideline linebacker. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some stuff. We're working to figure out when that's going to happen, but fully anticipate having Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast. Just maybe not today. Thurman Thomas at 8.
Nice.
Right?
Let's go.
Why not talk to Thurman about an incredible running back coming to town and about James Cook and the matchup with Baltimore. So we'll talk to Thurman at 8, and then at 9, Luke Jackson, Baltimore Luke on Twitter. We talked to him before. Luke Jones. Luke Jones, he's on Twitter at Baltimore Luke. Covers the Ravens, talk show host, talks Ravens. We had him on back in September, and we'll talk to him again about Baltimore and all that good stuff. So we're getting closer.
Mm-hmm. Getting that knot in my stomach.
Yeah?
It's getting there. Yeah.
When you close your eyes, do you see Derrick Henry running full steam at you?
It's not Henry for me. For everybody else, it seems to be Henry. Like, I've had a couple conversations with, you know, whoever, buddies or someone you run into, and like, oh, what do you think of Sunday? Like, oh, man, they're going to have to stop Henry. And like, yeah, I know, they are. Jackson is the one that's in my nightmares. Not more than Henry. But I'm getting the sense that more people are afraid of Derrick Henry. Which, I mean, he's enormous. I get it. Like, if the two were running at you, you would rather not be in front of Henry, I'm betting. Like, he is terrifying. He is 6'3", and he's a unicorn at his position for how big and fast he is. But no, it's Jackson. Jackson is the one for me.
Should I put a Twitter poll up? What do you think it would be? 90-10?
In favor of Henry?
Yeah.
Who are you more afraid of?
Who are you more worried about the Bills shutting down on Sunday?
Okay. I bet it would be...
Is that the wrong way to phrase it? Because if you shut down Henry, doesn't that make Lamar's job tougher, third downs, blah, blah, blah?
Sure.
How do you want me to phrase it? I agree that Henry will win this.
Mm-hmm.
By how much is debatable.
I mean, if it's 90, maybe it would be. Maybe it would be. I feel like the way you phrased it is probably fine.
Who are you more worried about beating the Bills? How about that?
Yeah.
Who are you more worried about beating the Bills on Sunday?
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably the appropriate way to put it.
Okay.
And I do feel like everyone is going with Henry on that. And I get it. He's amazing. But there are those plays that Jackson makes against Pittsburgh where, like, you can win a rep against Derrick Henry and he's stopped at the line, no gain, right? Like, there's just, you win the rep, often there's not a lot he can do. Jackson, you win a rep. Pittsburgh had plays like this last week where Jackson is dancing, 4 or 5 seconds, 6 seconds, 7 seconds, and the linemen are terrified to go chase him, and he's just buying time. Oh, there's Justice Hill wide open because he had 10 seconds to get open. Like, you can do great on a play, and Jackson just beats you anyway. And that is not quite the same, I would say, with Henry.
Henry, however, does average 1.7 yards rushing over expected every play. So you win a rep with Henry, gets 2 yards on you.
Okay.
I'm just,
all right.
You might not be worried about 2 yards. Depends on down and distance.
No, I'm worried about 40 yards because the running back leaked out and they can't cover for 15 seconds.
Well, 3 votes in, Joe, Lamar Jackson is leading. There you go. So
after three.
We'll track this. Who are you more worried about beating the Bills on Sunday, Lamar Jackson or Derrick Henry? Yeah, it's then there's the Baltimore defense. I mean, if you want to go there, their defense has been better of late. Mm-hmm. Zay Flowers, we'll see.
He had one catch in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
I'd expect if he played, he'd probably have more than that.
I would too.
It's tough to not have more than one. They didn't need him right in that first matchup,
right?
So yeah, Flowers will be important to see. I'm still thinking, though, even if he plays, that he's probably not playing at full strength. That would be surprising. I mean, they ruled him out on Thursday last week. It wasn't even like game time decision against Pittsburgh. They went up to Sunday, and then he got ruled out. Like, he got ruled out on Thursday for the Ravens last week.
Yep.
So that, to me, would imply that he's more likely to miss right now. But I guess we'll see.
We'll see. I was thinking yesterday about McDermott's arc here and his role in this. You know, we're talking all about Lamar and Derrick Henry and how they're going to stop those guys. There's not a lot of chatter about Joe Brady in the offense because people seem to have plenty of faith that they'll get theirs, even though they were dreadful in the first matchup. And the offense had its worst game of the season, arguably. I guess you could put the Houston game in there as well. But, you know, thinking about McDermott and his role in this, his arc is our arc, is the Bills' arc. And, you know, I was just kind of thinking how it gets lost. They made the AFC Championship game, and he's looking to go back to his second, McDermott is. And it will either be Lamar going to his second or Allen going to his second. But Allen going to his second, of course, is McDermott. McDermott has been the Bills. He's been the team that's right on the edge, that has every right to claim that they're really good and falling short. And you just wonder his mindset, how much pressure has he put on himself this week? And Bobby Babbage, of course. I know it's Bobby Babbage calling the plays on defense, but, you know, this is collaborative. We know McDermott from time to time will take over play calling in a spot. I mean, we've learned that along the way. Not to say he's taking it away from Bobby Babbage, but you're just not separating those two in what they do this week and what the plan is. And, man, what a win it would be for McDermott. Really, any win. Any win. Even the 13 seconds win where the Bills lose that game because of gaffes at the end. If they win that game, that's an AFC Championship appearance for Sean McDermott. Sure, the defense gets torched late in that game, but you still got the win. If we do QB wins and losses, we on some level also do coaching wins and losses, even if your side of the ball wasn't really the one that got you there. But I don't know. I'm just thinking about McDermott and how much pressure he might feel he is under, not from ownership, but from himself, from his own desires, right? His own pursuits, just like Allen has pursuits.
Mm-hmm. So how does that manifest itself, though, on the field, though? Is that
great question.
Is that him going... Couldn't that drive him to be... You know, we mentioned yesterday about how there were fourth downs in that original Baltimore game that they didn't go for, that it was almost weird they didn't go for. Yeah. Like, they often would go for a fourth and two at midfield or whatever it was.
There were several, yes. It was very out of character. It was odd.
And could, like, that is out of character for McDermott. Would that pressure maybe drive him to be more conservative in those situations? You know, like, let me not lose the game here because, like, I just wonder how that would manifest itself. Maybe defensively it could somehow, or maybe it just wouldn't. Maybe he would feel it until the game starts and then things are moving so fast and play calls are coming in and, okay, now the line's being reset as a first down. Okay, got to get the play call in. Like, and I know he's not calling plays, but I would wonder what that looks like. If he really is feeling pressure internally, like, he wants to win it. He, I'm sure, doesn't want, you know, any thought out there at all that he can't win it. He can't win the big one. That he's not this choker in the playoffs. Like, is going to stick with you a little bit when the 13 seconds game happens the way it did. So, if that is true, then what does that look like, if anything? And maybe game management would be the first place to look. More so than like what they're going to run defensively against the Ravens.
I expect them to be aggressive, right? Wasn't that the nature of going for fourth and two against the Chiefs? Was, well, they have Patrick Mahomes on the other side, and Lamar doesn't have the same reputation for being clutch like Mahomes, who of course has that as an endless part of his routine or his reputation, I should say. With Lamar, it's more of a, this guy can kill you. He can hurt you. They average more yards per play than most teams really ever. So wouldn't that lead McDermott to lean into the aggressive side? He gave us the full breakdown on why he did it against Mahomes earlier in the season. All those lessons learned from that, all the credit given to that would apply here too.
Yeah.
You would think.
I hope so. I think they're going to need it. They're going to need to extend drives. They're going to need to score. They're going to need to act like they need 35 in this game.
Yeah,
at least I would say. And I would trust him on that. Isn't Harbaugh not this?
He's bad.
He's bad at
this.
He's
bad at this. Yeah, the Harbaughs are both bad at this.
Yeah,
at fourth down decisions and what to do, they are bad at this.
Mm-hmm.
Worse than Tomlin this season. John Harbaugh was worse than Mike Tomlin in when you should go for it scenarios.
Which is crazy because your quarterback is Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Like, look at what Allen did against Kansas City. The play did not work, and he ran for it and got the first down anyway. That is literally what Lamar Jackson can do for you also.
Yeah.
And he doesn't go for it. They also, do they have a sneak play? They have a sneak play with Andrews, I think. So maybe they'll go for some fourth downs and ones doing that.
Right. A different kind of tush push.
Yeah.
All right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you want to give us a ring, chime in on it, who you're more worried about. Is it Lamar? Is it Derrick Henry? The Flowers piece of it is big. Without Flowers, I mean, they lose a big piece there. But right now, 67% are saying Derrick Henry, as you might expect.
67%?
Yeah.
I just think he is someone that would live in their nightmares because of how... It's the size and it's the stories of him in high school. Like, he's a mythical beast, basically. But I think Jackson, I don't know. I would vote Jackson easily on that one.
If you're a defender, aren't you going to sleep? You know, we were joking about you close your eyes, you see Derrick Henry. It might not even be about seeing Derrick Henry. It's seeing a video highlight of you posterized on ESPN forever. How many days go by in his life between Josh Norman seeing that video and seeing it again? We talked about it yesterday. It didn't even count because there was holding on the play. It doesn't matter. Everybody remembers it. And Minka Fitzpatrick got embarrassed last week.
Yeah.
These are good players in the NFL, guys that have had successful careers, and he can you know.
I mean, Taylor Rapp.
He can destroy you.
Taylor Rapp is probably thinking. He got injured trying to tackle Derrick Henry.
And is he the biggest hitter on the Bills? Rapp, he's up there.
He is. I think that's one where he needs to not do that, right? Like, he can fly in like a missile. There was a play last week against Denver. Does anyone remember this one? Where it was maybe, it was the end of the first half. Knicks throws the ball kind of up the sideline and the ball ends up going out of bounds, and if Rapp has got it focused on the ball, maybe he intercepts it, but he's not. He is looking to light this dude up, and he just misses. Like, he doesn't make contact. If he did, this dude would have been broken in half. And, like, Rapp, he's kind of curtailed that, I would say, a little bit. Like, when he was on the Rams and then maybe even last year with the Bills, he was looking for big hits, and that is not happening to the same degree, which is good. Like, he's not taking as many penalties, I would say, doing that, but it's still in there a little bit. Like, it's still in there. He wants to fly down and just wreck a guy. And he probably thought on that play, I'm going to catch Henry here. I'm going to get him from the right angle. I'm going to get him. And then he was down and out. So,
well, there's a lot of legacy stuff with this game, of course, right? Allen, Jackson, McDermott, I mean, even Harbaugh to make win a second Super Bowl. But how about Henry? If Henry and the Ravens win the whole thing and he does what he did against Pittsburgh the whole way, you know, Super Bowl MVP is on the table and greatest postseason for a running back is on the table.
Mm. What is his best postseason?
He had a good one getting them to the AFC Championship game with Tennessee before they lost.
Was that the one seed year, though? Did they only win one game?
No. No, that's a different year. Okay. The one seed year they lost to the Bengals at home.
Okay.
There's another year where they go, and there might have been two byes at that point.
Okay, yeah. They beat New England. That's Brady's last game as a Patriot,
okay.
I think.
Yep.
He goes 34 for 182.
Yeah.
5.3 yards per carry. Then he goes at Baltimore. They went at Baltimore, at New England, at Baltimore, and Kansas City. The second game, he goes 30 for 195.
Yeah.
And then AFC Championship 19 for 69. Not quite as
But that's a good look at when he gets to the playoffs, he gets fed. And January football, whatever you want to say, I expect him to get a healthy dose. The other thing about feeding Henry in the playoffs, Baltimore has a full year of having heard, I can't believe you didn't run it. I can't believe you didn't run it. Mm-hmm. That's how they lost to the Chiefs last year in the AFC Championship game. They ran the ball, what, 6 times?
Yeah.
And Baltimore heard about it for a full year and went out and got Derrick Henry. And like, okay, fine. When this guy's on the field, we're going to make sure we hand it off a little bit more. How many carries do you think he gets? What's his over-under? Do we have that yet? Are the player props out?
Ooh, I bet that is out. I mean, it will matter on game script.
Sure.
I'm sure.
I bet his over-under for carries is like 19 and a half. Maybe higher. Those numbers don't often get that big because game script can ruin it pretty quick.
Yeah, he had 26 against the Steelers last week.
Okay.
And that's a game were they up? Was the score half? Was it 21-0 or was it 28-0?
Big and fast, yeah.
The rushing line for Henry on attempts is 19 and a half.
Look at that.
Look at you. Right on that number. What do you think Cook's number is?
14 and a half.
13 and a half.
Okay.
Pretty good, though. And then the rushing totals, Henry's 96.5, Cook is 55.5, Jackson 51, Allen 45.
There's a good lesson in, you know, 96.5. How many do you think he's going to run for, Bills fans? Wouldn't every Bills fan, 130?
Like, right.
It's 96.5.
Well, if he is getting 20 carries, is there an outcome where that really goes well for you? Like, I saw there was a Mike Vrabel clip making the rounds yesterday. Did you see this about teams' records when they run the ball more than, I forgot what the number is, maybe it was more than 20 or 25 times. And it's like, oh, teams are 155-2 when they run more than 25 times. Like, teams that do that are up big and they're running out the clock, you know, often, not always. And like, that would be, to me, what you would guess if Henry gets 22 carries in this game, isn't it that one of two things is happening? It's a low-scoring game, and it's a lot about ball control and field position. I do not believe that that's what we're headed for. Or two, the Bills are playing from behind much of the day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many outcomes Henry getting the ball that much goes well for you. Like, actually, maybe it isn't just a low-scoring game. That AFC Championship game last year between the Chiefs and the Ravens was low-scoring. Was it 16-10? 19-10 was the final score? But Baltimore threw the whole day because they were trailing. They were playing from behind. And whoever the running back was it Gus Edwards for that game? Like, did not get almost any touches at all.
Gus Edwards.
I think that was the guy.
Dobbins, Gus Edwards, Mark Ingram. I'm trying to think of like all the guys they had over the years.
Vrabel said yesterday, teams who run the ball 40-plus times in a game are 155-2.
Yeah.
That was the stat he pulled out. 40-plus times.
Right. But he was talking about, I saw a little bit of the context of that interview. He's basically in New England talking about the Patriots had a lot of success when Tom Brady used to throw it 40 or 50 times. I think he was saying not – we need to run it a lot, but a little bit more of, well, maybe we earn that. But early on, I think it might be asking a little bit much to ask Drake May just roll out and throw 40 times a game.
Gotcha.
So we'll see. I saw a little bit of context added to that, that yeah, in fact, you know, they'll try to build themselves a solid foundation. They'll want to be what the Bills are, right? The Bills don't want Allen throwing 40 times a game. Has he thrown 40 this year?
Has Josh Allen thrown 40 this year?
No, he threw 39 against Miami.
He threw 40 against the Chiefs.
Okay, there you go. Well,
yeah.
Well, so much for your attempts thing. He threw 40 attempts against the Chiefs, and they were great.
40 against the Chiefs.
27-40. 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. Sal, Thurman Thomas, Luke Jones, all ahead of this Baltimore game. It is media day, so the great The great bulletin board banter, whatever, kicks up today. Kyle Hamilton laid down the smack on Josh Allen. You see that?
No, this was a real quote.
It's a real quote in an interview with Sports Illustrated, apparently. But he didn't do that. He just said he's been phenomenal. He's been phenomenal this season. Yeah, he's okay, I guess. He's got some moves, but nothing we haven't seen before. You think he'll be a challenge? Now we'll handle him. He's another quarterback on the schedule. You know, just low playing it a little bit.
Good. I am trying to protect myself from any of, you know, any reason to make me truly despise the Ravens. And the reason why is I am kind of hedging on the chance that the Ravens win this game on Sunday. I want to protect my emotions from not wanting them to win against the Kansas City Chiefs next week.
There's almost nothing they could do if they were to win for me to turn and say, go Chiefs. I can't even imagine what it would be.
I mean, there are social media stuff that can be annoying, but there's nothing that's going to get me to that level, I don't think. Like, what would have to happen? For you to not... You have to root for the Chiefs. How many people we don't need to play the what-if-they-lose
game. We'll save
that
for next Wednesday if the Bills lose and we're all in mourning. Maybe even next Thursday or Friday or after that game.
Or maybe it'll just never happen because the Bills are going to win.
That's right. Yeah. Bills win. The spread in this game has moved.
It's moved 3 points.
Yeah, which leads me to believe that the public is on the Ravens, right? The Bills were 1.5 point favorites. Now the Ravens are 1.5 point favorites, and the Bills have not been. The Bills have never been a home playoff dog.
Not since I saw 1967.
Okay,
so AFL.
That's what I'm counting.
Yeah, yeah.
Have never been a home playoff dog in the NFL, and they are a home playoff dog.
Yeah. The money on the game looks like 61% of the money's on the Ravens.
Yep.
39% on the Bills.
Public's on the Ravens. Yeah. And I think a ton of that is, you want to say, reputation. Isn't Baltimore the sexiest team this year? The Chiefs are 16-1 and not given credit because they win close games. Here's Baltimore, who lost 5 times this year, and yet, The way they do it, it just hits with people. Lamar, 41 touchdowns, and then Henry. Derrick Henry. Again, last year, Baltimore, they lost 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they lost a lot more.
5, yeah.
But it's a conversation about how, well, come on, look at that guy over there. They didn't have him before. That's what makes this different. By the way, is there any regret the Bills didn't sign Derrick Henry? They need this? Would it be any different if they did?
I thought about that yesterday.
We would have talked about it at one point. We didn't think he could still do this at his age.
Yeah, I was still very much not loving the idea of paying a running back.
But what if they
that
had?
Went for Barkley as well.
What if they had?
I mean,
anyway.
Cook's been good.
He's been very
good. He's been great.
Very,
even,
very
I would say.
Good. Yes, very good.
So, would Henry have been better? Yes, I would say almost certainly, but there's not a lot much better you can be than what Cook was on the amount of opportunities Cook had.
803-0550, we'll get a break in. Also going to talk with Jeff Metis of Tee to Green about last night's TGL, you know, a little golf pros perspective on how this whole thing is going. I think you got a lot of golf fans liking what they see. So we'll chat with Jeff Metis for a few minutes on week two of TGL. So we got to see Tiger Woods out there. No Rory, though, this week. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Well, we're going to have fun. I've got two unbelievable great talkers on my team today.
Yes, you do.
I think that we're actually giving each other crap more than actually the other team. So we're already having a great time here, and we just want to showcase golf and have a lot of fun and entertain everyone who's watching and grow the game.
Tiger Woods on the tomorrow's golf league. Last night was week two, simulator golf indoors, but with grass and rough and sand and big stars as well. Tiger with Max Homa and Kevin Kisner. His son Charlie was there as well. Justin Rose on the other side, among some others. So, you know, pretty cool. Number two, we watched Tiger. Week one, saw a bunch of stars and waited for Tiger. No Rory this time, but we'll see. Joining us on the Western Hotline, just to chat about it real quick from a golf pro perspective, Jeff Metis of Tee to Green. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Nice to talk to you.
Have you, and the golfers you've talked to about the TGL so far, I mean, like, golf has been expanding and trying to find different ways to get on televisions and generate revenue, and the live thing probably fractured the game and did some damage. What's your early impression of TGL and Tiger's involvement, how key that might be as well?
You know, my first impression is I bet a lot more people watch that than anything on live ever.
right.
And, you know, I found it very entertaining. And it's a personality based kind of thing. And the players are mic'd up and that's fun. I thought it was pretty good. I thought some of it was a little hokey and over the top. I mean, they kept showing the owners like they were Jerry Jones in the Dallas Cowboys box. But yeah, I thought it was, it was entertaining. And it's, at the dojo, we're all about indoor golf. So I think it's great because it's getting more people playing and, maybe the casual golfer and they pick up the game. So I sure do think it's good for golf. That's for sure.
It's also a chance to see Tiger. His battles with his injuries and how often he plays or doesn't. Like, this is an opportunity to kind of get scheduled appearances, and it doesn't ask that much of him, I would think.
No, yeah, physically it's not very draining. And it reminds me more of the kind of rounds you have with your buddies all the time when you're playing, when you're not in tournament mode, when you're just out there playing and you're busting chops and you're making jokes and laughing at bad shots. Like right now I feel like I could beat Kevin Kisner. I'm pretty sure I can't. He didn't play very well last night. But, it's all in good fun, and I do think it's good to have Tiger there. He's going to move the needle, and Rory's going to move the needle. So they're going to, as they go along, I think they'll improve. There's things I think they need to improve on, some of the production quality and some of the things they do in the production. But I do think it's entertaining, and it's certainly worth tuning in on a Tuesday night for.
Yeah. How do you feel that it's going with, like, the live green part of it, where everything under 50 yards is, they're moving the green around, and they can change that? But I feel like that's made it better. If everything was into the screen and there wasn't the green and the actual putting, I feel like it might not be as good of a catch.
I do think that's a nice part of it. It is way different chipping to an artificial green or pitching to an artificial green and even putting on an artificial green than it is in the real world. They can't get as much spin on the ball or check the ball as quickly. There is grain sometimes in those short greens, and they'll have to practice a little bit around those greens. And I think as the season gets better, they're not used to pitching and chipping to those kind of greens. But I do think it's cool. It's unique. And they just keep rotating it, and it's basically they hit to the thing I thought was peculiar. All the holes look like something I might have designed when I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Some of those triangle holes and things like that. But it's entertainment. It's not life or death sport. Right. I won't be watching it like I watched the Bills game on Sunday.
Which,
sure.
I would say this, Jeff. Jeff Mead is joining us about the TGL, Tigers Golf League there. Well, I think the fact that it is entertainment and not the sport might be to the benefit. It's almost like, it's kind of like the Pro Bowl where you get to watch the guys have fun, or it's like Battle of the Network Stars because they are able to show off a little bit more of the less serious side of golf. I'm sure you deal with this plenty, Jeff. I mean, I'm not Tiger Woods out there. I shouldn't be getting so mad about my shots. I should have a good time. And, to see these guys at the top having a good time is a big part of that.
Yeah, like I agree with you. I think you said it well, and it's personality based. So people are going to get to see the personality of some of these guys. Kisner, he may not come across as very personable on the golf course. Like Matthew Fitzpatrick, if you've met him, he can be a little gruff. We'll see how he is on something like this where they keep bugging him in his ear and, if he's laughing and joking. You like to see that connection between the players and the friendships that they have. People enjoy that. And the shot making's it's unique. I do think they've come up with some interesting solutions. The fairway bunker, they put that lip and they can raise or lower that lip in front of the fairway bunker.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, and they have the other tee up forward, so when you're hitting the wedges, you don't hit it above the screen. All those, they did some research. They're doing a lot of nice work here. I do think it's going to succeed. I think it'll get polished up as it goes along. Will it maintain interest year after year?
That's a good
question.
Yeah. That's the $1 million question, whether or not it does.
I mean, yeah.
And will they continue to get the top guys to be a part of it is the other part of it as well.
I think if you're a player, it's good for your brand to be in something like that.
Yep.
So if you're a player, you're considered one of the elite players because you got invited or whatever it is. And then it's good for your sponsors and things like that to have you seen on TV with your logo on your shirt.
Yeah. There's also, of course, like, hey, Tiger called. He wants you to do something. And a lot of these guys are probably like, okay, that's fine. Whatever Tiger says, right?
Yeah. I'll get back to him later. I'm a little. Yeah.
All right. Jeff Mead, T to Green. Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, I got a quick question, Joe. How are the hooks last night? Did you mitigate those hooks a little bit?
I watched from the dojo. Yeah, the hooks were gone, but we've got some other inconsistencies to polish out.
Yeah,
but we're getting
figure that out.
Yeah, first round with a new grip. So I think it went well though overall.
Yeah, you'll get used to it.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff.
Anytime. Thanks, Jeff. The grip change. I went to the grip change. I was afraid it was going to take too long, and it doesn't.
No, it definitely did not.
I found it took a lot faster than I thought it would.
Like one session, and then you feel like you weren't even noticing it.
Yeah, and you don't know how you'd go back.
Yeah.
803-0550, TGL is, I think it's pretty good.
Cool.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
You can give us a call on the Sabres if you'd like, on the Bills. The Sabres I mentioned because they're playing the Hurricanes tonight, so the Sabres are back at it.
At 6.
6 o'clock.
Yep, and did they lose ground last night? Everybody played in the league, so okay. I'm sure they lost. They had to have lost ground on some people.
They are 11 points out of the final playoff spot.
Yeah.
Which is held by Columbus. Like, the real tough part about, if you're a Sabres fan, there's a lot of things that can be tough. But right now, the final playoff spot, here are the four teams battling the three teams. Columbus, Ottawa, Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
It's Columbus, Ottawa, Montreal. Meanwhile, Detroit, who was dead in the water, they lost last night. They had won 7 in a row
after
changing their coach. So they're a couple points back. But
yeah. How about that, though? They won 7 in a row, and they still weren't in a spot.
Right. That's the Red Wings. Yeah.
Because you just, like, that's the Sabres. Like, okay, they're about to go on. If they were to go on a win streak right now, like, they wouldn't make up all the ground because there just is so many teams to climb over. Teams play each other. Meanwhile, like, the story in the league last night was maybe, did you see what happened off the ice? Another one of these athlete burglaries.
Yeah, Evgeny Malkin's
house was robbed, and they stole all three of his Stanley Cup rings. Like, that's happening. Is this like the fifth time that's happened this year to an athlete? Like,
Kelsey, Mahomes, Malkin.
There was a MLS player. I think it happened to.
There's an NBA player as well. Not Jokic.
Somebody. But now Malkin.
Yep.
So it's clearly targeted. It was during the game.
I mean, these professional athletes have been warned about an international crime ring that's targeting their homes. Malkin's three cup rings were stolen.
Yeah.
The thing about those, they can just make you new ones, right?
Ooh.
Just make a new one.
I wonder if it's that simple.
It's got to be that simple.
And would you feel like it's not, I mean, it's not the original, but I guess.
If it's made by the people that just make the original, here, we made a new one.
Just make another one?
Just make new ones. That's something I feel like you can replace. Grandmother's heirloom,
okay.
Not so much. Hey, go ahead and remake that. Put it this way. If you had a Stanley Cup and you had three rings.
But you would know it's not the ring.
If I stole your three rings and replaced them with three made by the actual jeweler.
Yeah, you're a villain in a TV movie. I guess in this one,
I'm not even a villain. I'm just giving you new ones. Would you know?
Oh,
this
okay.
is we swapped out his coffee with Folger's original. Would you notice if I swapped out three Stanley Cup rings made official? You would not, right?
Probably not. No, but would if you ever found that out, wouldn't you be furious because they're not the originals?
They're fakes. But they're not fakes. They're real.
Well, they're replicas then, aren't they?
No, no, this real. When they make Tage Thompson a jersey because a jersey tears, the new one is not fake. It's just made by the no.
But what if it's the jersey? Well, I guess he didn't wear the rings while winning the Stanley Cup.
They probably sat on his mantle for years, a decade. It's been sitting there. Them being stolen is like the most interesting to happen to those rings, I bet. You wear them out?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you do. The only person I've ever seen wear rings is Tom Brady to flash them all at once.
Brady always wore the rings.
The only person I've seen actually do that.
I think Shaq wears his rings a lot, too.
803-0550. We'll dig into the Bills, of course. Got some numbers on how often they play 4-3 versus their base nickel over the course of these matchups. We'll dig into that a little bit. Sal at 7. Thurman Thomas at 8. It's a Wednesday. It was a snow globe when we came in. And should be snowing a little bit today. Some lake effect. Also some snow tomorrow. The Buffalo area, Buffalo Metro could get like 4 inches over the next 24 hours or so. So going to stay cold. Going to be a little snowy. And next week is a deep freeze right after the Baltimore game, by the way. Sunday's forecast is to get low. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Joe, the lows are in the single digits. Tuesday's the low is 3.
Ooh.
So, yeah. A deep freeze coming. We'll get a break in, get more calls, 803-0550 to join us on WGR. Joe and I just digging back into some NHL standings to see what the pace was in different years.
Yeah, because right now it seems like the pace has come up a little bit with Columbus getting hot. But still, they are on, I guess by points percentage, they are not. Boston really isn't in. They are by points, but by points percentage, Boston's below both Columbus and Ottawa, who are behind them.
Maybe we can spend 5 minutes digging into something Seth Appert said yesterday about how the way to win is not to trade scoring chances. The Sabres, a couple years ago, the year they missed by 1 point, this time that year, that team's traded scoring chances. They were 5 points out with 3 games in hand.
And right now they are
11 points out. Trying to play a defensive brand of hockey that is not working. I mean, Appert said a couple things yesterday that were probably puzzling to Sabres fans. Like, do we think we can win with this group? I mean, I don't know.
The not trading chances, it's more, I almost feel like it's almost disrespect of that season and that team.
Right, which
it was their best team and best season easily of the last 14 years, and they abandoned what got them there immediately, and ever since have kind of down-talked the style that got them there.
Right.
And it doesn't sound like they would ever go back.
803-0550. Bills and Ravens, of course, Sunday, 6:30. We'll get a call in here. Leroy on a cell phone. Hey, Leroy, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. This is Bob and Leroy.
Sorry, Bob.
What's up, Bob?
Hey, Bob.
That's okay. That's all right. Hey, listen, I really think that our defensive line needs to show up. Oliver, to me, is overrated. Phillips, Smoot, Johnson, those guys have to have a stud game to stop Henry. Rely on our linebackers and secondary to stop it once he gets momentum. Also, I think he should be returning rather than Codrington, even if he's healthy. I think Shakir gives us a better option. Thank you, and I'll hang up.
Thanks, Bob. I mean, Codrington's been really good.
He's been really – I did think yesterday, like, man, it'd be nice if Shakir just did this the rest of the playoffs, but Codrington's been doing that all year.
Yeah.
So
– I mean, Shakir had a really nice return, broke a couple tackles, but I don't know. I don't need that change. I think Codrington's been very, not just fine, but good, an advantage for them. And on, you know, you need your, I don't know how you could say, I get the point in overall, but you don't want to rely on your linebackers to stop Derrick Henry. That's exactly what you want to do. I need Oliver and Jordan Phillips. I mean, if they can get through and make a difference, then that's great. But how would you – who stops a running game with the front four? You need your second level. That's the whole point. That's why they're there.
You can't do that, though, if your line gets pushed back and bullied the whole day. And they've had –
well, I mean, if you have gap integrity or whatever the game plan calls for, hey, here's a hole. One-on-one, can Matt Milano make the stop in the hole? If he can, then you're in good shape. And if you get two men there, then you're in better shape. But – you know, sometimes the defensive line for a guy like Jordan Phillips or Daquan Jones, it's not his job to actually stop Derrick Henry. It's his job to do his 1/11th to make sure that the group stops him. So Dorian Williams could see some action. I've got numbers on the overall number of times the Bills have played in three linebacker sets, and they did almost not at all in the first matchup. They probably didn't have the depth, right? No Bernard, no Milano. 803-0550, Sal. When we return, as we continue pushing towards Bills-Ravens. Wide open phone lines for you. You want to chime in? We'd be happy to have you. 803-0550 on WGR.